Merry Christmas to everybody. It's lovely to be here. And I've given a title to this message. I hope it won't go past 10 o'clock today, because I know you all want to get home. No, I'll have you out of here in about 9.5 minutes with any luck. So, Christmas, a cause for celebration. And so I'd like to start by reading John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world and the Prince of Peace that this world desperately needs, and how we thank you and bless you for coming to the earth to die on the cross for our sins, so that all who believe in your name might be given peace with the Father and may receive your peace and love in their hearts. Shine the light of your love deep within the hearts of all those that do not know you as Saviour, we pray, and light the minds of those that are blinded to the truth of the glorious gospel of Christ Jesus, our Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would draw many into your arms of forgiveness, so that they too might be made right before God and receive his peace into their hearts at this time, so that the goodwill that was promised by the angels so many years ago might become their portion this Christmas time. Grant all those that know and love you as Saviour to be specially blessed this Christmas, and may you draw each one ever closer to your heart of love in a world that is becoming darker, so that the light of your truth may shine through us to a world who needs Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, there was a Sunday school teacher of preschoolers who was concerned that his students might be a little confused about Jesus Christ because of the emphasis of Santa and the presents and sleigh bells and all sorts of things. And so she wanted to make sure they really understood the birth of Jesus and that that birth had occurred for real. So she asked her class, "Where's Jesus today?" she said. Stephen raised his hand. "He's in my heart." Good answer. Little Johnny waving his hand. Mary. Mary said, "He's in heaven." Great. Then little Johnny was waving his hand and blurted out, I know, he's in our bathroom." And everybody went quiet after that for a few seconds, and the teacher really didn't know what to say. And eventually she said, "Okay, well, how do you know that he's in your bathroom?" And she said, Johnny said, "Well, every morning when my dad gets up and goes to the bathroom, he knocks on the door and he says, 'Good Lord, are you still in there?'" Well, that's the best I can do. Okay, this morning we're celebrating the most extraordinary event that ever took place in the history of the world. US astronaut James Irwin, and he was a guy who walked on the moon. He said, "The most significant achievement of our age is not that man stood on the moon, but rather that God in Christ stood upon this earth." What great words from an astronaut. And this is what we're celebrating today, that God chose to come to earth as a human. History is littered with examples of men who wanted to become gods. But there's only one example of God becoming man. God chose to leave heaven and be born as a tiny, weak, vulnerable baby. He chose a young, unmarried teenager to be the mother of Jesus. God didn't choose a powerful or wealthy family to be born into, but just an ordinary working class family, as we heard from the message last week. He chose to be born not in a palace, but just in a rough stable. And as we dwell on the significance of Christmas, it's almost beyond our imagining. Think if I was in charge, I would have had Jesus come down and have big bands and lots of singing and dancing and pomp and ceremony, just like when a king or the queen comes to another country. You know, it's all a really, really big deal. But no, God chose to do it a different way. In the Christmas story, angels feature a great deal. We're told that an angel appeared to the shepherds tending their sheep to tell them that a saviour had been born. The shepherds' immediate response, we're told, is one of fear in seeing something as wonderful and majestic as an angel. On hearing this news, the shepherds go in search of Jesus, and what they discover is a child being nursed by his mother. We all know the story. The scene must have been very different to what the shepherds had seen with all the angels. But what's so amazing is that this tiny infant, who is totally dependent upon the love of Mary and Joseph, is greater and more powerful than the angels the shepherds saw. And this is how John puts it in his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And further on, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We see from that Gospel of John who Jesus truly is. Firstly, Jesus is God. The Word was with God and the Word was God. This is also emphasized in a reading we see from Hebrews. It says, in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. We also read that, in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. He goes on to write that Jesus is a radiance of God's glory. What a fantastic phrase that is. Jesus was a radiance of God's glory. Because further on in Hebrews, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided justification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so the idea contained here is of the radiance which sort of bursts out like a brilliant light, like the sudden appearance of a glorious dawn at the sunrise. We also see that Jesus is the reflection of God's glory. Not only is he God, not only is he the radiance of God's glory, but he is the reflection of God's glory. In John, we read, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He also talks about Jesus being the exact representation of being. In other words, Jesus shares God's very nature. He is the very essence of God. The point being made by the writer to the Hebrews is that Jesus, the Son, is identical in attributes to God, the Father. They are one and the same. Jesus was God in human form, and we read in Hebrews that it was Jesus who sustains all things. By this it means that Jesus is still actively involved in the world. If he stopped doing his job and didn't sustain everything, who knows what would happen to the planet Earth. God didn't just create the world and then step back and leave the world to its own devices, like some sort of divine watchmaker who, having made a watch, leaves it to run on its own. No, God, through Jesus, is still active in the world, and we know that to be a fact in our own lives. Lives are being touched and changed by his love. Personally, our lives are transformed by knowing Jesus. So we see the birth of Jesus was the most amazing and extraordinary event that has ever happened to this planet. But why would God choose to come to the earth? Why would he choose to reveal himself as a human? Well, a little analogy here, and I'm not sure whether this is a true story or not. There was a Scottish farmer who didn't believe in Christmas, didn't believe in church or anything like that, and the idea that God would become a man was totally absurd to him. His wife, however, she was a Christian, and her husband used to ridicule her, mocking her faith and belief. "It's all nonsense," he would say. "Why would God lower himself to become a human like us? It's such a ridiculous story." Now, one snowy Sunday evening, when his wife and children were at church, and the farmer was relaxing at home, and after they had left, the weather turned really, really bad, and they got a really bad snowstorm. And he heard a thump against the window, then another thump. He ventured outside to see what was happening, and there in the field, he saw a large flock of geese. They'd been migrating south, but had become disoriented by the snowstorm, and they were stranded on his farm, and they were unable to fly or see their way. And the farmer really felt for these geese. He took compassion on them, and he wanted to help them. So he realised that his barn was the perfect place for all of these geese to be safe from the storm. So he opened the barn doors, and he stood back and waited. And, of course, the geese didn't do anything. They were still out there in the snow, possibly freezing to death. They didn't know that there was shelter for them. And then he tried to shoo them in. And, of course, you know what happened there. Geese this way, geese that way, just like trying to herd sheep, I suppose. And none of them went into the barn. They ran in all directions. So, not to be outdone, he said, "I know, I'll get some bread." And he laid a trail of bread to the barn door. They still didn't catch on. They were still out there in the snow. Nothing he could do would get them into the warmth and the shelter of the barn. Feeling totally frustrated, he said, "Why don't they follow me? Can't they see this is the only place where they can survive the storm? How can I possibly get them to follow me?" He thought for a moment, and then he realized that they weren't going to follow a human. He said to himself, "If only I could become like one of them. If only I could become a goose, then they would follow me. I could lead them into the safety of the barn." And it was in that moment he stopped and realized what he'd said, and he realized why God had to come to the earth to save people like you and me. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to announce that she was to give birth to Jesus, Gabriel told Mary that Jesus would be called Emmanuel, and of course we know that means God with us. This is what we're celebrating at Christmas, that God immersed himself in the squalor and the chaos of this world so that we could know him and experience his love, and so also that he could save us. Okay, why else could we celebrate Christmas? Well, we need a pause to reflect. Our lives are busy, 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 aren't they? And it can be tough to find time to break away and reflect on what matters. This is where Christmas and the Advent season that precedes it come in. Nothing could be more worthy of our reflection than the fact that God came for us. When Jesus was born in that manger, God became a human being to come to our rescue. We celebrate Christmas as a chance to break away and reflect on the things that really matter. Secondly, we could celebrate because it's an opportunity for generosity. And I know you won't find elaborate gift-giving or winter holidays in the Bible. Consumerism influences Christianity in ways we should all notice. But even with that warning, Christmas is an opportunity for us to follow Jesus better. The Bible is the story of a gift. God gave his son. It's no accident that Christmas celebrations often come with giving. We give gifts to families and to loved ones. We give gifts to people we don't even know to help out, you know, the farmers and so on. We collect gifts for our community and the church. Christians are called to be generous at all times, but Christmas is an opportunity to practice radical generosity, just as our Father did when he gave us his Son. And thirdly, our neighbours are more receptive at Christmas time. We don't really live in a Christian country in Australia. Most of us can probably think of ways that Christianity is less publicly acceptable now than it was in the past. But it's different this time of the year, isn't it? What other time do you hear so many songs about Jesus in public places? People who don't go to church are most likely to accept our invitation on Christmas and Easter. So one of the reasons we celebrate Christmas is to put the message of Jesus before our neighbours who are more receptive at this time of the year. So what's the relevance of Christmas for us today? So often at Christmas, people celebrate the story of the birth of Jesus, attend nativity plays, sing carols, enjoy the festivities, but sometimes they can miss out on the real significance of this festival. Jesus said that he came to give life and to give it in all its fullness. We were all created for a purpose, and we can discover that purpose through knowing Jesus. Jesus is alive today, and he offers us the gift of his love. We can have a relationship with the Creator of the universe, a Creator who came into the world to save us. This is the true wonder of Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus did not come merely to give us life after death. He came to restore all that had been lost. The more we experience Jesus in our lives, the greater life becomes. Rejoice, for unto us a child is born. Amen.